Brother Neil Dougal is going to close our conference with a devotional message. My brother has been principal ministering in the New England area and traveling from there. And out are commended from the Worcester Assembly, as was mentioned earlier. And we'll just be waiting on the Lord to see what is on our brother's heart this afternoon. Brother Neil Dougal.
Sensible there's no energy shortage in New Jersey. Always assured of a warm welcome. It's a real privilege to be with you today. I look back upon my association with the assemblies over the years, and I can only thank God from the depths of my heart for the day I was brought into the family of God and into the assemblies of God's people. My parents were Scottish Presbyterians, and we thank the Lord for that background. As a lad of 13 years of age, I accepted the Lord as my personal Savior. During World War II, it was my privilege to be in Vancouver, British Columbia, and at the age of 19, had the privilege of ministering the Word of God with the late Alfred Mace, one of the old brethren connected with New Jersey many, many years ago. I was 19 and he was 90 years of age. That was a tremendous delight. And I can look back upon that experience as if it was yesterday. I give a very simple message, my own stammering way, from Philippians 2, concerning the self-abnegation of the Lord Jesus. And that dear old man rose. And he says, God has made this same Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. It was a masterpiece. Then again, down in the land of Egypt, in Alexandria, I had the privilege of ministering there with the late John Moneypenny and the late Robert Willie, who was squadron leader in Willie, in those days, well known at Parker the Farm, and a missionary called Mr. Mitchell in Alexandria. As I was leaving that day for the Indian Ocean, Mr. Moneypenny said to me, "How old are you?" And I told him. He said, "When I was your age, I stayed with R.C. Chapman of Barnstable, the man of love. And when I left R.C. Chapman, he passed on a few words to me, and I want to pass them on to you." And this is what he said: "Keep low, look up, and go on." I would use those words by these men, from R.C. Chapman to Mr. Moneypenny, known to some here, and passed on to me, and I seek to pass them on to you today. Keep low, look up, and go on. Wasn't that the burden of the apostles' ministry to the saints at Philippi in chapter 2? Keep low. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. And to look up in chapter 3, pressing on toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God, which is in Christ Jesus. And in chapter 4, go on. Shall we turn, please, to the Old Testament, to three scriptures, very, very briefly, in 1 Samuel chapter 12. There's not too much time left. I'm due to finish at 4:05. Many years ago in London, there was a prophetic conference, and the speaker got over involved in his message. He was talking about the Lord's return and went on and on, and left 15 minutes for the next speaker, which was Mr. Naismith, and his subject was the millennium. He said, "I'll do my best to put 1,000 years into 15 minutes. 1 Samuel chapter 12 and verse 23. "Moreover, as for me, God forbid that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you. But I will teach you the good and the right way." Now please, to the book of the Psalms. Psalm 17. And the last verse. "As for me, I will behold thy face in righteousness. I shall be satisfied when I awake with thy lightness." A final scripture in the book of Joshua. The last chapter of the book of Joshua. And verse 15. "And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom ye will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Moreover, Samuel said, "Ask for me. God forbid that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you." Here with Christian aspiration. Then we read in Psalm 17:15, "Ask for me, I shall behold his face in righteousness and be satisfied when I awake with his likeness." That's Christian anticipation. And then in the last chapter of the book of Joshua, "Ask for me in my house, we will serve the Lord." Christian animation. I believe the greatest need amongst us today is the appreciation of the spiritual values that we've received from our forefathers. We're living in a day when some men at least want changes for the sake of change. Would to God we could stand on the foundation like Naboth. You remember King Ahab offered him a very profitable transaction regarding the vineyard. But he would not sell that vineyard because he received that inheritance from the Lord. And I believe what we've received from the Lord, we should hold on to it tenaciously. For God has blessed our beloved brethren in the past. And I believe we ought to have an esteem for those who have labored in the gospel. We're living in days when there are those, and they seem to have little time for the matured saints of God. One thing the Lord taught me as a young child and a young convert was to esteem those for their work's sake who labored in the gospel and in the ministry of God's work. You remember in the days of Elisha, there were those from the schools of the prophets, and they appreciated the spiritual maturity that they saw in Elisha, and they respected him for his work's sake. Would to God that we could cultivate that disposition in the day in which we live, to respect those who have gone before. Now Samuel was concerned about the state of the nation of Israel, and we ought to be concerned about the state of the assembly. There is much that we can thank the Lord for. I mentioned today about Moncton, New Brunswick. I had a letter last week from the correspondent, and 39 souls have been added to the assembly there in Moncton, and they are bursting at the seams. An assembly that majors in the gospel. And so we ought to be concerned about those areas that are not developing and where there are little evidence of the work of the Spirit of God. And this, of course, calls us to get down on our knees to keep law. Let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. And Samuel realized that if anything was to be done to restore the nation back to God, it would have to be on the principle of prayer. God forbid that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you. Now, sin has been defined in the Word of God by doing what I know to be wrong and not doing what I know to be right. We talk about believing in prayer, but do we really believe in prayer? When you come to a prayer meeting, it's a sad picture indeed in most areas, because we fail to realize the potential in prayer. 2 years ago in the Bahamas, I spoke one evening from the book of Zephaniah, "The Lord is at hand." A man got disturbed through the meeting, and finally I pointed him to the Savior. That was at 10 o'clock in the evening. He was going down the street at 11 o'clock, telling his friends he was now the child of a king. At 12 o'clock in Spanish Wells, outside the chapel, we were singing, "Oh happy day when Jesus washed my sins away." 6:30 in the morning, we had a prayer meeting. And that's when you separate the men from the boys, at 6:30 in the morning. To my delight, this new convert, he comes into the meeting with his Bible under his arm. In fact, it was his wife's Bible under his arm. All the men prayed. And then finally he says, "Lord, I don't know how to pray, but I'm going to pray anyway." And he began to pray for his friend and his brother and those that he worked with on his fishing boat, that they might get saved. His nickname was Chicken. I said to the brethren at the end of the meeting, I said, "Please do me a favor. Change his name from Chicken to Eagle. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles, run and not be weary, walk and not faint." I detected in that man he would be a man of prayer. And for 2 years, he revolutionized the island of Spanish Wells in the Bahamas. in his prayer life. He died with cancer of the lungs a month ago. Winged his way into God's presence. It's a sin not to pray. And so that involves our own personal lives and also our assembly life. Wherein then is prayerlessness a sin? Well, it's very obvious that the cross work of the Lord Jesus is not really appreciated. That might sound very hard to accept, but in essence it is true. Over Mount Sinai, to which we have not come, Hebrews 12, you could write the word depart. But we have come to Mount Zion, and over Mount Zion, you can write the word come. Wherefore, brethren, having boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by that new and living way, the access has been made available to us, and we ought to give our lives over to prayer. Keep low, get down on our knees, and lay hold upon God for our loved ones. And getting back to my friend from the Bahamas, the day he died, he got word from his son Nigel that he got saved. He got saved the day his father died. And so what a joy to go into God's presence knowing that all the family are united in Christ. As for me, Christian aspiration, and the Lord help us to pray more on behalf of the lost, on behalf of the assemblies, and on behalf of each other. In Psalm 17 and verse 15, as for me, I shall behold his face in righteousness. I shall be satisfied when I awake with his likeness. Here, beloved, is one of the richest areas of the Word of God. Here with a personal association, as for me. And in view of the fact that the Lord's coming is very, very near, it could be today, we ought to adjust our lives in view of his coming and our appearance at the judgment seat of Christ. For we all must appear at the bema of Christ. John says in his epistle, little children, abide in him, so that when he doth appear, we shall have this confidence, we shall not be ashamed before him at his coming. Wonderful things of a personal association, as for me. To enter into the experience of Job, I know that my Redeemer liveth, that personal association. And like dear Paul, I know whom I have believed, as for me. And we are assured here of the perfect occupation. As for me, I shall behold his face in righteousness. What a glorious moment that will be for us as the people of God, when for the first time we shall see face to face our Lord Jesus Christ. Going over the review of the brethren movement, and some people get afraid of that word, Peter Fell said it should be spelt with capital letters throughout. He loved that word named brethren. But we thank the Lord, when we look back on looking at the history of the brethren movement, we really should take time out occasionally to see how these men responded to the Word of God and their special appeal and affection for Christ. J.G. Bellett is one outstanding, and he just lived his life looking forward to the coming of the Lord Jesus, to be and to see face to face the man of sight as well. And John Nelson Darby was called the man of hope. We owe much to him. There is much about our background that is unsavory, and there are some spiritual vultures that would feed on the carcasses, but thank God for what has been done. And we certainly bless God for the recovery of the truth of the coming again of the Lord Jesus Christ. One of my favorite hymns is written by John Nelson Darby, when he puts one verse at the end, when he says, Lord, we wait for thee, and he goes on to explain the delight that would be his in seeing again the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus, we wait for thee, with thee to have our part. What joy and so blessing can it be but being where thou art. Perfect occupation to be occupied with the Lord Jesus. Not only personal association and perfect occupation, but perfect gratification. I shall be satisfied.
We're living in a day of terrible dissatisfaction. Affluence is really affecting the assemblies of God's people. And we ought to get our priorities right. I was having a meeting hundreds of miles from here not too long ago, and one brother said to me, there might be a few faces missing tonight. I said, why? Well, he says, the Dolphins are playing the Redskins. Well, I said, the Dolphins should remain in the Atlantic and the Redskins in the prairie. And we should get down to business and we should get into the things of God. Our time is running out and we have to get our priorities right. Perfect gratification to be satisfied in the morning of resurrection. And then, thank God, there is a permanent identification. As for me, I shall behold his face in righteousness and be satisfied when I awake with his likeness. That to me will be the good wine kept to the end, when we shall be conformed, body, soul, and spirit, like unto our Lord Jesus Christ. I addressed a group just a month ago in the Bahamas at the leper colony. My last visit there, a man had an accordion, and he said to me, do you mind if I play my favorite hymn? I said, I'd be glad to hear you play your favorite hymn. And he began to play with an enthusiasm that Arthur Fiedler conducting the Boston Pops could not possess. He played It Is Well With My Soul. As I looked at him, face disfigured with leprosy, no fingers or at least parts of his fingers gone, and he's playing this instrument, It Is Well With My Soul. His friend said, do you mind if we sing my favorite hymn? I said, what is your favorite hymn? The great physician now is near, the sympathizing Jesus. By this time I was choking with emotion. I said, gentlemen, it's not right with your body, but thank God it is right with your soul. But one day it shall be well with your body as well as with your soul. Body, soul, and spirit, we shall be conformed to his image. Christian aspiration to keep on praying, keep low. Christian anticipation, look up. The Lord's coming is very near. And finally, in this last chapter of the book of Joshua, we have Christian animation. He says, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. He was a man, and he was nearing the end of life journey. He wasn't looking for the fishing pole or retirement. He was looking for work. And thank the Lord for everyone who keeps on working to the very end. Thank God for men who, like Joshua, have a dedication to the word and to the work of the Lord. Now, in his final message, he gives to them the ordinance in Shechem. And that is a very, very priceless area of the Word of God. Here he is about to die, and he gives them a special ordinance. And it was built around four great things. Very quickly, there was a great book, and there was a great stone, and there was a great tree, and there was a great place called the sanctuary. There's another man who was about to die, and he also introduced an ordinance. The Yeshua, the Joshua of the New Testament, our Lord Jesus Christ. And the Apostle Paul, as we reminded our hearts this morning, gave us the origin of that great ordinance. That which we've received from the Lord. And again, there can be no deviation from the pattern laid down in the Word of God. Wonderful origin, and the occasion was the night the Lord was betrayed, and that should help us to worship. And thank God for the order. Simple order, the breaking of the bread, on the drinking of the cup. I know we rejoice in his outlook. It's only till he comes. Two great ordinances, and there could be no deviation. Thank God, beloved. Like Joshua, he reminded them of the book of the law. You and I have a great book. 66 priceless volumes. And I again would encourage my young brethren to get into the book, to study to show yourselves approved unto God. Workmen that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And I can speak from experience, sitting down with older men and just gleaning from them what they had got from the word of God. And I thank God for the patriarchs of the coal mines and the fishing fields, the fishing lanes, who knew that book from cover to cover and imparted these precious truths to us. And we are obligated in our generation to pass it on also to faithful men. It's a great book.